Welcome to the worship service of Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street, Pea Ridge, Arkansas. We hope this message will provide both meaning and inspiration for your life. Listen now for today's message.
Our call to worship. We are waiting on you, God. We are still waiting. The darkness is deeper, but look, the star is beginning to shine. The everlasting light is creeping closer. Hope is in the air. Peace is promised. Joy is on the tips of our tongues. Love is coming. Love divine. All loves excelling. We are waiting on love, and love is waiting on us.
From the realms of glory, wing your flight o'er all the earth. You who sang creation's story, now proclaim Messiah's birth. Come and worship, come and worship. Worship Christ the newborn King.
Our affirmation of faith. We believe in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Liberator, the expression of God's redeeming and restoring love, the mark of humanness, source of courage, power, and love, God of God, light of light, ground of our humanity. We believe that God resides in slums, lives in broken homes and hearts, suffers our loneliness, rejection, and powerlessness. But through death and resurrection, God gives life, pride, and dignity, provides the content of our vision, offers the context of our struggle, promises liberation to the oppressor and the oppressed, hope to those in despair. We believe in the activity of the Holy Spirit who revives our decaying soul, resurrects our defeated spirits, renews our hope of wholeness, and reminds us of our responsibility in ushering in God's new order here and now. Amen.
Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings.
Our first scripture reading comes from the 7th chapter of Isaiah, verses 10 through 16. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David. It is not enough to try the patience of humans. Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. He will be eating curds and honey when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. For before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid waste."
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? And this child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Oh, Mary, did you know? Oh, Mary, did you know? Did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? And the sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am. Oh, Mary, did you know?
Our scripture text this morning comes from the first chapter of Matthew, verses 18 through 25. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. This is the word of God given to us, the people of God and the world. Thanks be to God. God breaks into human history, bringing divine plans to fruition through ordinary people. We see this pattern all through Scripture, from the patriarch Abraham to the precursor of Christians, Saul, who becomes the Apostle Paul, and from Deborah and Esther, who bring hope to their people, to Mary Magdalene, who is a witness to the resurrection, sent as the apostle to the apostles with the good news. This pattern of God working through people is no less true in the most important divine plan in history, as the Word become flesh in Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. God used Mary and Joseph in a plan to turn the world upside down, which was really setting everything right once more in and through Jesus. Knowing them as Saint Mary and Saint Joseph can hide the fact that though this couple was amazing, unique in all history even, they were also very much human. In our gospel reading this morning, we see that Joseph is a person with hopes and dreams for his own life, who found himself taking this critical role in history. When we meet Joseph, he is engaged to Mary and learns that she is pregnant, and God uses a dream to get Joseph's attention. Joseph, hearing from an angel in his sleep, is not so different from what you and I can experience. Sure, we can sometimes have dreams that get our attention, but we can also find the Holy Spirit breaking into our imagination. More often, God uses messengers to get our attention, like Mary's relative Elizabeth, who confirmed what Mary had already heard from the angel. God often uses other people to assist us in seeing what God is doing in our lives. A godly friend can be very important as we test out whether our great idea is something that the Holy Spirit is prompting us to do or not. God does not make anyone act, but rather invites us to take part in what God is doing in the world. In Luke's gospel, we read of how the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary, with Mary later responding, "Let it be with me according to your word." Here in Matthew's gospel, we find Joseph wanting to do the right thing. Breaking an engagement took a divorce decree, and divorce had to be requested by either party and witnessed by three others to be legal. So it was not as easy a matter as it might be today to end an engagement. Joseph wants to handle this in a way that would not harm Mary. Then an angel comes to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Joseph believes the dream, and Matthew tells us that when Joseph awoke from sleep, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took her as his wife. Joseph accepted the invitation to participate in God's plan of salvation, just as Mary had already done. So Joseph marries Mary. She has a child whom Joseph names Jesus, which means God saves. God will save, and God will do it all through Jesus. But Mary and Joseph were essential to the plan. Mary had to consent to the pregnancy, and Joseph had to consent to the marriage. God rarely acts in history with this sort of intervention. Jesus will anger a hometown crowd with this assertion years later, saying, "The truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon." There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. Through the incarnation, we see how God acts even in the extraordinary case of the birth of Jesus. When God becoming human in Jesus is a once-in-all-history event, God does regularly prompt people like you and me to take part in God's hopes and dreams for our world. We are invited to participate in what God is doing through serving others as though we are serving Jesus Christ Himself. Jesus describes this in the parable of the sheep and the goats, describing the actions of the faithful. He said, "I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me." Those who cared for others will be surprised, not knowing that they cared for Jesus, who will then explain, "Truly, I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." This parable is all the more poignant when we see Jesus' humble origins. The King of creation was not born in a palace to a life of luxury. After Jesus is born, Mary and Joseph will take him to the temple to offer two turtle doves. The Torah required a lamb together with either a turtle dove or a pigeon to be offered for the birth of a son or daughter. However, Leviticus 12 verse 8 noted that poor families could offer two birds instead, as a lamb would present a financial hardship. The Holy Family qualifies for what amounts to a hardship discount. Jesus will later serve others on the road, where he is frequently a guest who relies on the hospitality of others, as a stranger welcomed by others. Jesus sees the needs around him everywhere among the members of his human family. God will find a way to care for those in need, using someone else if we fail to respond. God will work out God's promises through whoever is willing to listen to the promptings of their hearts. While you and I will not be invited to such a momentous task as Joseph, we no less can take part in what God is doing. Jesus makes it clear that small acts of providing food for the hungry and drink for the thirsty are of eternal significance. In these small yet meaningful ways, we get to participate in the coming reign of God by being God's hands and feet in the world. This is part of how God breaks into human history, bringing divine plans to fruition through ordinary people. As we journey these last days to our celebration of Jesus' birth, our eyes should be open anew to how God is giving us the opportunity to respond to a divine invitation. For in caring for those in need, we are serving the Emmanuel, the God who is with us in Jesus. When we show care for those who would otherwise be lost and left out, we are doing so for the one whose first advent we celebrate, even as we await Jesus' coming again in glory. Won't you pray with me this morning? Heavenly Father, we give thanks for your word this morning. We give thanks for Mary and Joseph being such willing participants in your plan for the world and giving us a Savior. We give you thanks, Father, for Jesus, who lived as one of us, but died and rose again to be the King of kings and the Lord of lords. We pray, Father, that you would change our hearts as we go forth in this holiday season, as we get closer to our celebration of Jesus' birth, Father. May we see those around us who are hurting, who are in need of a little Savior of their own. Father, may we step up to the plate, and may we represent Christ to this world and to those that are lost in it. We pray this in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer, our King of kings, our Lord of lords. Our God is with us, our Emmanuel. As he taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Do, 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 do.
How silently, how silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts
the blessings of his head. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. Do, 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 do. Oh, oh, holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church is a home for people of all backgrounds and ages. We rejoice in each new person that comes our way. Our goal is to enable you to make faith in God a vital part of your everyday life by creating an environment where worship is meaningful and uplifting, where teaching from the Bible is relevant to life situations, where friendships are significant and prayer is practiced as a continuing communication with God. Are you looking for a church? Between churches? Perhaps burned out on church? Come give our church a try. We are Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street in Pea Ridge, Arkansas. Find us on Facebook, and our web address is pearidgeumc.net. Or you can call Pastor Jeremy Gross at 479-553-9585. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, anchored in the past, moving toward the future, making disciples for Christ along the way.